Praise God. Now I want to tear into the word this morning because I have a really hot word here, barn burner this morning. Best message I've ever preached in my life, guaranteed. Tops last week's. I have this message that the Lord's just stirring in me, and it's a long message, but I'm going to just take it slow because I got to get this in your heads. The devil's lied to you for too long. The devil's tried to make you just a common person. The devil has set your ways. The devil has stole your happiness. The devil has stole your joy. The devil has stole your victory. The devil has taken you and just reduced you to a mere human. And you're not. I want to tell you something. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You are sons of God. You are saints. Come on, am I got any agreement in here this morning or what? This world, listen to me, this world wants to put you down. The world wants to oppress you. Do you know that more Christians were killed in 2013 than have been killed in the last 100 years? Read the report this morning. More Christians died for their faith in the world in 2013 than have died in years. Were killed, murdered for being a Christian. We're so blessed in America. We know nobody try to kill you this morning to get here unless there's a deer or a hog in the road. We get so eased and complacent and apathetic because it's so easy for us just to come to church and just to, you know, get out of our houses or read our Bible or my Lord, you can be buying groceries and buy a Bible. But if you're found with a Bible in North Korea, you're killed instantly. You know, I don't say it like this, but it's the truth. It's fat, lazy. Look at the person beside you and say, no, don't say that. And see, I'm Rocky. I'm the guy that's whipped in the 10th round, but I'm going to fight it out for the whole 15. And I'm going to come up with a sucker punch haymaker. Y'all know, everybody has their weaknesses. And I like to watch fighting, boxing. I really like real boxing. But every once in a while, like the other night, I found my new hero in sports. Jesus is my ultimate hero, but I found my new sports hero. I just walked in, turned the television on, and UFC was on. And there was this guy, this white guy, redneck deluxe, big beard. His name was Roy Nelson. How can you get a better name, country name, than Roy? It's actually Roy Country Nelson. That was his nickname. It wasn't like, you know, like some bad name, you know. It's like Roy Country Nelson. He had a big old beard. He was fighting a guy that was huge. This guy was huge. And this guy was beer-bellied. I mean, he's a white boy, too. I mean, beer-bellied, long-haired beard on him. You know, looked the absolute slob to be in the ring. And it was like a minute and 20 seconds into the round, he knocked that guy plumb out. And I said, yeah, I have my new hero. Look at that guy. Big, fat, sloppy-looking redneck. And he threw this wild punch from outer space and hit that guy, knocked him out. And I'm like, see, it does work. And it was like, I don't want to be the guy that lets the world, you know, beat you down and then you give up. I hate giving up. I don't want to quit. If I read in the Bible says that we're sons of God, that we're new creatures, that we're overcomers, that we're more than conquerors. And bless God, I want to be. Hello? Come on, folks. Y'all alive this morning or what? I've been preaching this message that you are VIPs in the kingdom. In the kingdom of God, you are very important people. You are VIPs. You've already been given your VIP pass. You already got it. You can roll in, pop out your VIP pass, and get in. You're amazing. You're awesome. The power of God rests and resides on the inside of you. And then we'll let something beat us down. We'll let something steal it. We'll let something intimidate us. Come on, church, we got to change. We got to change and be the men and women of God that we're called to be. The first thing that you have power to do in life as a VIP is you have the power to become a son of God. That's what I'm talking about. Folks, listen to me. You're not, a Christian is not just a name on a wall or a member of a church. A Christian is the son of God in heaven. It says you reign with Christ. 2014, it's time for us to reign, to rule and reign. Y'all just looking at me like I ain't got no good sense. I'm telling you, I got it. I'm telling you, I'm on fire. I'm right. Y'all should be saying, come on, Bridger. The second thing you have the power to do is you have the power to make sons of God. You have the power to introduce people to Jesus and to help them to become children of God. You have that ability on the inside of you because the gospel is not going to be preached with angels. The gospel is going to be preached out of your lips. And the people you're going to preach it to is your friends, your associates, those people you come across. I've told this story a zillion times, but I'll tell it one more time. That when I first got saved, I was so on fire. I was just reading the word every night and just on fire. And then all of a sudden this thought came to me one night that God was going to send me to Ethiopia. And I got the thought in my head because they used to send these, they used to have this commercial about, you know, like feed the children or one of those things. And they always said Ethiopia, and the little kid was sitting there with all the flies all over his face and everything, you know. And I would just think, oh, God, that's horrible. You know what I mean? And I got scared because it was, you know, I didn't want to go to Ethiopia. And then I got scared. I didn't really want to, you know, go on farther with God because I just knew he was going to send me there. And one night I walked out of my house and I looked up the stars and I was, you know, always have lived in the country and there's nobody around. And I just looked up the stars and I said, oh, God, man, I don't think I can hack it if you send me to Ethiopia. And the Lord just stopped and said, you know, Robert, why would I send you to Ethiopia? You don't know anything. You need to learn something. You don't know anything. And I was like, huh, that's right. I don't know nothing. I need to learn something. I need to learn to at least read the Bible and know what it says. I don't really know anything. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I'm not going to Ethiopia. And then I came to Utopia. You know? So, you have the ability to help people, and the people that you're going to encourage are those that you know that are around you. Quit looking to go to Ethiopia. Quit looking to go off. Get those around you. I mean, start there. If God branches you out and sends you out somewhere, glory to God, but don't pass up all the food, the harvest that's sitting in front of you to try to get somewhere else because that's the crazy harebrained thing that the enemy's put in your mind. Man, just love people around you. Come on. I mean, that's your first harvest field, right? Why are they around you? And who's got the best voice to speak to them? You do because you know them. I don't. I'm just the preacher. Nobody wants to listen to me. Automatically, if I go into a crowd of people and somebody introduces me as Pastor Robert Richards, the it's dead. It's over. If they don't know I'm a preacher, and I can just slip in incognito, you know, undercover, because I don't look like a preacher, thank God, then, man, I can witness to them, talk to people, encourage people. It's amazing what people will tell me when they don't know that I'm a preacher. When they know I'm a preacher, nobody wants to talk to me. All right? That's who's your witness. So that's who you've got there. The third thing that you have the power to do, listen to me, you have the power to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. That you can go and you can have, you know, you can be Superman. You have an edge. The Holy Spirit in your life. The power to pray and have him direct you and speak to you and tell you it's the greatest life in the world. The power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to go on because I've already preached on that. Now, The fourth thing that you have that I talked about last week is that you have the power to say no. Now, that's a, you know, kind of a cliche word, but listen, you have the power. No, listen, fear can't rule you. Jealousy can't rule you. Gossip can't rule you. If you say, well, listen, I was born a gossip, but I said, no, you can say no. You can quit. You can change. You have the power to do that. You have the power to look into your life and say, look, I want to be the man of God that God wants me to be. I want to be like Jesus. Hello? You have the power to listen. The old man's been crucified and you're a new man. Quit saying that just because, everybody in our family was like, okay, we'll break it. There's no excuse. Listen, you have the power to not allow anyone to steal your joy. I'm a real good one preaching that because people steal my joy sometimes. You know, they do. I'll admit it. That's my weakness. People steal my joy. I revert back to the old man. Just want to beat them. All right. And the battle in my life is to not let anybody ever steal my joy. Hey, listen. My life is not perfect. Some people think that a preacher's life is perfect. Listen to me. I'm preaching under the anointing right now, and I get an edge there. When I go home, I got to live as Robert Richards. I don't get any edge. I don't give any extra break. I wish I did. I think I should. I've talked to the Lord about this time and time again. Said it's not really fair. But I don't get an edge. I have to live just like you do. I have to believe God for my finances. I have to believe God for everything going on. I have to believe God for healing. I have to believe God for it. I don't get an edge just because I'm a preacher. All right? But listen to me. The power of God and the ability to stand up and say, listen, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to yield to that. It's in you. It's in you. Look, if you want to fight in your marriage, then, you know, you're doing it. Nobody's making you do it. You're doing it. Quit.
Well, but that's not right. I mean, he's wrong, and he made me mad.
Okay, live there if you want to. But just be happy being unhappy.
Don't say, well, someday God's going to do something with him.
Maybe he needs to start with you. And maybe you're the one that needs to shut up. You have the power to say no.
Well, but that's just not right. Well,
stay there then. Be hard-headed. And you're going to get what hard-headed brings. So let me get to the next one. Yeah, I don't like that one too much. Get your Bibles out. Go to the book of Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Acts 10:38. Let's read it. It says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. The fifth thing that you have the power to do as a VIP, as a son of God, listen, is the power to do good. Now, I'm going to explain this to you in a minute because you're going to say, oh, yeah, power to do good. How many of y'all, like right now in your mind, if I said, okay, well, do good, you could come up with, give me a little list of what it means to do good. Right? I mean, I think all of us could, right? Do good. Not be good, but do good. Well, you know, you be nice to this person when you didn't want to be, or, you know, you found somebody that was sick and took them some chicken soup, or, you know, I mean, we'll list that kind of stuff, right? And that's what we think. Am I right? Because you want to, you know, be a good deed doer. All right? Okay. Well, I want to change your thinking this morning on what it means to do good. All right? Go, if you would, also to the book of Luke, chapter 9, verse 41. This is a story when Jesus and his disciples have been up on the mountain Transfiguration. They came down, and the other disciples are down there, and they're trying to cast a demon out of this boy. And And that's the story preceding this. And it says in verse 41, then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and bear with you? Bring your son here. And as he was still coming, the demon threw him down and convulsed him. Then Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, healed the child, and gave him back to the father. Now you need to look really on verse 42. Then Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, he healed the child, and he gave him back to the father. Years ago, and I'm talking years ago, 20 plus years ago, I had a dream one night. And I dreamed this dream, and you know, I want to tell you, if you think you had the difference between a God dream and a pizza dream. If you had a pizza dream, you can go back in your dream and you can figure out all the little things that each little segment of the dream you actually happened the day before. It's in your subconscious, you know. You can go back and so you dream that you're eating a piece of pie and it has hair in it, and then you wake up and your hair is in your mouth, you know, and so that's the way that happens. I want to give y'all something, give you, make you quit being hungry. But when you have a God dream, then it's like you dreamed it in, HD living color, and it sticks with you, and you can remember all the pieces of it, and it doesn't have anything to do with what you has happened in your day or your events or anything like that, and it sticks with you forever, because this dream, I can tell you today, and I can see it in my mind as I dreamed it 20 years ago. And what's really strange is I dreamed this dream 20 years ago, and then I dreamed it the other night. And the Lord was showing me something that I had missed over 20 years. Because you see, a day with the Lord is 1,000 years, so it's 20 years to me, but it's just moments to Him. And so I dreamed this dream that there was this forest behind me of big, tall, like pine trees, but very distinguished trees. And it was in this whole forest, and it was dark. Okay, in the forest. And there was a bunch of people. I don't know, there was no person that I know recognizably with me. But I came out of the forest, and there was all these people that were coming out of the trees and out of the darkness with me. And there was an open field that was kind of unlevel and had some terrain to it, some rolling kind of hill kind of things. And it was tall grass in it, and we were trying to make our way out of the forest, out of this darkness, through this field. And past the field, like way, way off on the horizon, there was a tiny little glow. And so I was walking towards that glow. And I was coming out of the field, and I remember looking to my left and my right and seeing the people around me, and they were all of us just had tattered, tore up clothes, had holes in it, no shoes on our feet. We were a mess. And we were walking, and it was hard to walk through all that grass, and we were trudging through it. And we came up to the top of the crest of this little rise, and we found a road that had, like it was caliched or graveled road. And we got on the road, and so it was easier to walk. And so I was just walking towards the glow. And as I got over one little hill into the next, I got to looking down, and my clothes were changing. And they were starting to become new. As the glow got stronger on me, it was changing me. And then I realized in my dream, on that road, I said, wait a minute, we're walking towards the glory of God. And that's what's changing me. And so I turned to the people around me and said, come on, I started encouraging everybody, come on, we gotta go. This is where we need to go. And I was encouraging all these people, but people became weary. And they began to sit down in the bar ditch. They couldn't endure it. They were tired, and they began to sit down, and some of them like half changed, but they couldn't go on. And I stopped to encourage someone and say, get them by the hands and say, come on, we gotta go. Look, we're changing, but we gotta go. The closer we get, the better it's gonna be. We gotta go. But as I stopped, then it stopped all the procession of everybody on the road. And everybody was balling up. And so it was it began to get, the ball of people were so big, the wad of them was, and then they started pushing me, to go forward, and I couldn't, I was losing grip with that person. I had to go on, and I was heartbroken that person was sitting there. But because of what was going on, the momentum of what was taking place of the people, the crowd, it push me forward. Well, the other night I dreamed the dream, and the Lord said, don't worry, because in this next move, the people behind you, they're encouraging them. They're picking them up, and they will get there. You're not going to see it because you've had to move on, but they're back there, and that's the job of this new generation of people to pick up those in the ditch alongside them and get them to come on and encourage them, because they're equipped, because the glory is coming upon them, and they're equipped to go on. Hello? It's a good one. So, Jesus here, it says he rebuked the unclean spirit, he healed the child, and he gave him back to the father. That's the principle. You gotta do what it says. Look, he rebuked the unclean spirit, he got the problem this kid had out of the way, and then he healed what the devil had done to the kid, and then he gave him back to the father. There's people all over this world right now that have been, you know, ravaged by the enemy. They've got wounds in their life, and it's going to take you to go out there and to tell them that, you know, there's a Jesus, and that he will heal them, and that he will touch them, and that he will bless them, and that this is their answer in life, and that he will heal the wounds in their life. You got to help them in that, and then restore them back to Father God. That's your job. That's your job. You talk about do good. That is your job in life, to encourage those people along the sides of the road to say, come on, man, listen, you know, get the devil, get out of them. You know, whatever the problem is, heal that problem. Because I already told you, the very first thing you have to do is the power of the Son of God. Okay? And then they get healed. The power of God comes upon you, uses you to heal them, touch their lives, touch their hearts. Listen to me. You know, I have a lot of old stories, but I'll never forget being in the jails preaching when a man came to me, and he was mad. He was angry that I was preaching. I was just doing my best, being nice, and the guy's mad at me. Every time I say anything, lying preacher. And so finally, after a little bit, I just got fed up with it, and I went over there to him and said, man, what is your problem? And he said, preachers, y'all all lie. And I said, well, that ain't true. But what's your problem? Hell, I remember when I was in vacation Bible school, and preacher over there slapped my little brother in the back of the head. Said, I saw what preachers were like then, never went to church again. I said, hey, it worked for you, didn't it? And the guy just stopped. It was a shock to him. He's like, I said, yeah, man, it worked good for you. You've been mad at preachers all your life, and here you are in jail. Glory to God, you got just what you wanted. And I just walked off. And so I just went back to preaching, talking to the group that was listening to me. And that guy just sitting there looking and looking. I watched him. Every now and then I look over there, and then the conviction of the Holy Spirit was all over him. And every minute, you know, and every now and then I'd look back over there and see what he's doing. And in a minute he walked up and said, preacher, you're right. He said, my God, I've wrecked my life over that instance. I said, hey, you want to get right now? Yeah. So we prayed, gave his life to the Lord. And, you know, I don't know where he is today, but I believe that he got on the right track finally. You see, that's what it was. This man had a wound, and it took somebody to heal him, give him a word, lead him to Jesus, and then Jesus would get him back to the Father, you see? That's just the way it works. That was the wound in his life. Some preacher done something to him, or actually his brother, that offended him. Offense was his wound. Right? So people are all out there. They're all over the place. They're sitting there. They're not serving Jesus. They're not walking in victory. They're not having any joy. They're not having any goodness of God come into their lives because of instances and things in this world that have happened to them. Nobody, listen to me, nobody wants to just become a meth addict and ruin their life and destroy everything around them. Nobody looks and says, man, I just woke up this morning and said, I destroyed my life. You don't just wake up with that thought. It comes about because you're looking for something in life. And you're not finding it. You're not getting fulfilled. And you got some wounds and some bruises and some putrefying sores. Hello? All of us are like that. So then you didn't get strung out on meth. You know, you just got angry. You just became a gossip. You just became, you know, sharp tongue. That's what the wound is in your life. It's a wound. It got to be healed so you can get restored back to the Father. That's our job. If we keep that focus in life, okay, if we keep that focus in life and don't lose it, then everything's real simple. Folks, if you can look at and just get it in your heart that the ugly people you've encountered in life, they're just sick. If you can get it in your heart, they're just sick. Okay? But you know what happens if you're around sick people? If you don't watch it, you can get sick. Hello? Okay. The thing is, I hadn't even got to the good stuff yet. Okay, so I'm the kind of guy that loves to tear up the Word of God and look at it. And so I went to looking at the Greek and what the Greek means. And, you know, the Greek language is so much more, you know, it can explain itself so much better than English can. All right? And so the word good in the Greek, listen to this, it means to be a philanthropist. Now, let me ask your thinking before I tell you what it means. If I said to you, "Hi, I'm Robert Richards. I'm a philanthropist." Then you would automatically, I would think, that you would assume that I'm some wealthy individual that has made a lot of money and put it aside, and, you know, philanthropists usually give to charitable organizations, right? And you would assume I was a rich boy. Am I right? Can I have a show of hands to tell me if you think that that would be correct? Okay. Well, I was reading this, and so then I looked up in the Webster's Dictionary what it means to be philanthropic. And the definition means dispensing or receiving aid from funds set aside for humanitarian purposes. I'll read that again. Dispensing or receiving aid from funds set aside for humanitarian purposes. And I was reading that, and it's just the Holy Ghost has said, if everyone could just realize they're all philanthropists. All sons of God are philanthropists. It would change this world. Now listen, go in your Bible to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Ephesians 1, 3 says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Who has is past tense, right? So if he has, you have. Huh? If he has blessed you with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, that means you got it. That means you're not waiting for it. It means you already have it. Who do you think the richest person ever is? Well, it'd be God, wouldn't it? I mean, he made a world in 6 days. Sat down and rested after that. That means he says the heaven and the earth, it all belongs to him. Right? So that means all the gold, all the silver, all the wealth and riches of this world, it all belongs to God. It's all his. Everything's his. The breath within your lungs is his. And if the richest man ever, God, said to you, because you have become a son of God, you have already obtained every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, then I would declare that you are a philanthropist. Because you have been put in charge of dispensing the goods that you have received for humanitarian purposes. You already are a philanthropist. I was speaking with a man this past week, and he didn't know anything about me. He didn't know anything I did. It was in construction, and we were visiting there, and he says, something got brought up about wealth and the oil field and people making a lot of money and this and that and the other. And he said to me, yeah, that would just be great. If I ever made a lot of money, I'd love just to help people. And I said, really? I said, well, why don't you start now? Why don't you start with what you got? Well, I said, you know, I'm not really a wealthy man. And I said, hey, let me tell you a story. So I started telling him about us rescuing orphans. And years ago, we used to just go put on a roof and for a church in Mexico. And then, you know, now we're building orphanages around the world and doing all this stuff. And I said, hey, you know, you started small and, you know, God's been blessing us. And he just looked at me. He was just blown away. Never had come across, never had thought about just starting with what you had. Folks, listen to me. You are a philanthropist. You have an endless supply and source. It's already been set aside for you in heaven. It's all yours. You have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. The definition of Jesus was doing good and healing all that were sick and oppressed. He just was taking his Father out of his Father's dispensary and dishing it out to the world. That's what he wants you to do. Take from his Father's dispensary and dish it out to the world. Whether it's leading, hey, come on, listen, lead somebody to Jesus and they're going to live forever in heaven. How much wealth is that? Are you with me here? Forget about everything else. Just lead them to Jesus. And how much more, I mean, what did you just give them? Eternal life? I mean, you're not going to find that in some philanthropist pocket. Are y'all with me here? Somebody's marriage is messed up and they're about to get a divorce and you go and speak some words to them and it changes their life. It sets things in order. It helps them in life. You don't think that you didn't just dispense the greatest riches in the world to them? See, we try to make everything too complicated. We sit around and say, well, you know, I'm just going to work really hard in life and try to make it. And then when I get it all and I make it, then I want to. Well, wait a minute. What about every day? What about everybody you're around? What about a smile? What about a handshake? What about just telling somebody you're doing a good job? What about just doing something good, philanthropic that day? Taking from the dispensary of heaven and giving it to somebody. So not only are you VIPs, but you're all a bunch of philanthropists. I don't want to hear no complaining no more. You're a bunch of philanthropists. Are y'all with me? There was a time in my own life that my wife and I, we were broke, didn't have a, I mean, we were broke. We weren't one of these people who just went broke in one account. We were broke. I mean, I'm telling you what, I remember having $7. $7 was all we had. And we had to feed the family for a week. Went to a meeting. God spoke to me and said to sow that $7, give the $7 in an offering. It was all the money I had in life. Now, $7 doesn't seem like much, but $7 is $7 is all you got. $7 is that's big bucks to me. And I remember coming and I remember thinking, oh God, I'm trusting you so much on this because, I mean, I know $7 ain't going to feed much, but, you know, buy a little hamburger the days when hamburger was hamburger. I mean, Lord God, before cows turned to gold. Barely even afford to eat deer meat. Ridiculous. Are y'all with me? But it was all the money we had. And I remember it was a giant to give that money. And you know what? I'm alive today. I'm healthy. Nobody missed a meal. God provided. He did a miracle. He built faith in our hearts. My wife was facing the same situation in a deal with all the money we had. She kept thinking about, she had it broke down to how much that money would be. I think it was $14 that time, wasn't it? Or something like that. And how much you could break that down and how much hamburger helper we could get and all that kind of stuff, you know? And But God told her to sow it. She sowed it. We all lived. Ain't none of us, you know, look at my family. We're all healthy as a bunch of horses. All I'm saying, church, is you got to get out of the mentality. Do not let this world beat you down. You are a son of God. You are a VIP. You are a philanthropist. You have the ability to do good. Do it. Don't let the devil turn your heart and get your heart into those places of life where you're twisted and you're warped and frustrated because the enemy has wounded you in life. Get healed. Call upon the power of God to come into your life and to heal you, to set you free, so that you can go and to be the man and woman of God, the men and women of God that He's called you to be. Hello? It's time to rise up and say, No. I'm a philanthropist. You know, this is really, I'll leave this with you and then I'll close. You can, maybe some of y'all aren't like this. Maybe I'm just the fruitcake of the bunch, okay? But in those years when it was hard for us, when we didn't have a lot of money, we didn't have any money, but we were making and we were working and we were doing it, the Lord showed me a little key, a trick. Trick's a bad word, key. I used to take a $10 bill and go to the bank and get 10 ones so that it felt like I had more money in my pocket. And then if you just take the ones and don't get a wallet, that is a wallet that you put them in individually like this, get like a money clip. Because if you take the 10 ones and you fold them in half and then you fold the other half over, then you clip it that way, it's a big wad. It's just 10 ones. And I just felt like I was rich. And then the day came, I'd always believe, God, I just need, can I have 20? I need a 20. And then God would do some kind of miracle and somebody would give me a $20 bill. And I'd take it and I'd get 21s. And then I'd build that thing up. And I just felt rich. And then so when I was with people and somebody was trying to get a buy Coke or, you know, because I worked construction for a lot of years and just around a bunch of guys and nobody had any money and somebody wanted a Coke and didn't have it, man, I'd whip out that old big wad. Pull it out, man, buy somebody a Coke. Hey, let me get you a Coke. Here, let me pay. You know, they didn't know I didn't have. They just looked like I had something. And it really did something on the inside of me to make me feel that God had supplied all of my needs. Everything was okay. I had it. It was there. And I have lived like that forever. All right? I mean, I still to this day get to feeling poor if I don't have a wad. And I'll fold it up or whatever I got to do. Okay? It's been a process of learning to walk by faith. It's been a process of living. But I want to tell you something. You've got to get it across however God uses it, that you're a philanthropist. Okay? You're a philanthropist. Now, my next point, I'm not going into it. The next point is that you have the power to learn. Okay, so you got to learn how to dispense it. But listen to me. You are a philanthropist. Everybody say, I'm a philanthropist. Look at the person beside you and say, you're a philanthropist. Whew! That's good news. You are a VIP philanthropist. Let me tell you one more thing. How about Peter and John walking in the temple, right? They came by the beggar that was lame, been there forever, right? And they walked by, and what did they say to him? Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto thee. In the name of Jesus, rise and walk. Would he have rather had some money in his cup or be healed? See, what they did is they grabbed from the dispensary of heaven, issued it to that man. You tell me those boys aren't philanthropists? They said outright, silver and gold have I none. They were broke. But the next thing you know, the meeting's on. Got this lame guy jumping and dancing and praising God, causing a ruckus in the church. Everybody says, what happens? And Peter says, I see an opportunity to preach. Jumps up and tells them all. 5,000 people get saved. Are you with me? You see, folks, this is you. This is you. That ain't Old Testament. That isn't something that's all in the past. That is you today. He didn't have to have silver and gold in his pocket to feel like a philanthropist or to be a philanthropist. He just had to get from the dispensary of heaven and get it to the man. That's your job. That's your job. To do good. Get it out of heaven and get it in their pocket. There's no resources. There's no limitations. There's no boundary too big. There's no mountain too high. There's nothing. There's no gap too big that you cannot overcome, church. You're the most awesome, magnificent creatures on the face of this earth because you're sons and daughters of God. The Spirit of God lives and dwells on the inside of you. Amen? Stand to your feet if you would. Oh, Jesus. Church, can I have my prayer team come up? Listen to me. Don't leave this building today if you don't know Jesus. If you're not sure in your heart that you're ready to meet Jesus, do not leave this building. Come up here with one of these prayer people. And just say, I want to be secure in my salvation. I want to know Jesus. And let us pray for you. Come on, God bless, but this is Rob, I got to be me. Okay, that's the one thing I've learned in 20 years of pastoring this church. I have to be me. And I just don't like going through and saying, you know, everybody bow your head and close your eyes and lift your hand, da-da-da-da. I just believe that if your heart's pounding this morning and you're not really sure, that you just don't leave. Come up front. Let's pray with you. Let's make it simple. Let's make it natural. Hello? So look at the person beside you and say, hey, do you know Jesus? Come on, look at the person beside you. Now, if that person beside you, you know, kind of looked like they wanted to run when you said that, well, then, you know, maybe you need to bring them up front. Because I don't want you to leave this building not sure of your salvation. All right? Now, we're going to leave these doors here in just a second. We're going to walk out there and we're going to walk out into the world. We've been under an awesome corporate anointing here this morning. The presence of God has just been great here this morning. But listen, you're going to go out there and you're going to go out to a dying and hurting world. You're going to go out to people who do not know Jesus. You're going to go out to people that are sick and that are ugly. I don't mean physically. I'm talking ugly hearted. There you go. And they need to know what you heard this morning. They need to know some good news. The world's got plenty of bad news. They need to know some good news. So you're going to run across them this week. Listen, if you'll set yourself right now to say, Lord, help me to get my eyes open to not miss anybody, then I want to tell you something. You'll have an opportunity to encourage somebody this week or pray for somebody this week or lead somebody to Jesus or whatever, because they're all along the roadside. All right? Don't miss it. If you're here today and you're battling something else, these people will pray for you and God will move and victory is yours. It's that easy. That's simple. So take the person's hand beside you. I'm going to pray over you. Father, I just declare right now in Jesus' name that we want to be the men and women of God you called us to be. We want to get right in the move of this move of your Spirit, Lord. We want to get right in the middle of it. We want to get right up front. We want front row seats. And Lord, I just thank you that as we leave this building today and we go out there in this world that you've anointed us, you've put fire in our bones, you've open our eyes to things this week. And as we go around people, we're going to get to lead people to Jesus. We're going to get to tell people the good news. We're going to be able to encourage those around us. Lord, we're going to be the sons of God you want us to be. We're going to be those VIP philanthropists walking on the face of the earth, dispensing from heaven to this world what they need. Lord, we give you praise for what we thank you for. So we just pray, Lord, that you lead us and guide us. I thank you for every person in here, Lord. for your hand upon their life. Bless them. Bless their businesses. Bless their lives. God, I praise you for it. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Church, we're here up front to pray with you if you need anything.